Scripture reading this morning is Matthew 26, verses 30 through 56. Matthew 26, 30 through 56. This passage, the history here, takes place on the Thursday night of the Passion Week, the night that Judas came into the Garden of Gethsemane and took Jesus with that army. We pick up at verse 30. Just before that happens, Jesus is going to the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and there he prays. And he prays, really, "Thy will be done," to God. And we read this then in connection with Lord's Day 49 and the third petition, "Thy will be done." So Matthew 26, we begin at verse 30. "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And so far do we read the holy, inspired word of God this morning. On the basis of this passage and others, we have the instruction of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 49. Lord's Day 49. Which is the third petition? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will, and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good. That so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. What do we mean when we pray, "Thy will be done"? Jesus teaches us to pray that petition in the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus even prayed that petition himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. And since Jesus teaches us to pray that petition, and he himself prayed it, we certainly ought to pray it. But what do we mean exactly when we say, "Thy will be done"? Is not God's will his plan? And isn't God's plan always done anyway? So what do we mean exactly when we pray, "Thy will be done"? May the word that's brought today help us understand this petition. May we come to understand better what God's will is. And may we pray this petition with greater understanding. May we grow in our understanding of it today, be reminded of the truth, so that we pray it clearly from our heart, seeking the glory of God. Remember that this petition is one of the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer are especially concerned with God and his glory. So may we pray this petition to the glory of our Father, the one who sent his Son to die for us. Let's consider this text under the theme, praying that our Father's will be done. Praying that our Father's will be done. First, our Father's will. Second, our petition. And third, our Father's grace. First, our Father's will. Scripture speaks of two aspects of God's will, and that is the will of God's decree and the will of God's command. First, let's understand the will of God's decree. God's will of decree is what he has determined will happen in history. For instance, we had a pandemic in the last year. And we might say concerning that pandemic, that was God's will. And when we say that, we are referring to God's will of decree. Scripture speaks often of God's will of decree. And one such place is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Ephesians 1, 9 through 11 says, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Scripture uses other terms to refer to God's will of decree. It speaks, for instance, of God's plan. It speaks of God's counsel. Those are the same thing. That's what his will of decree is, his plan, his counsel. And that's what God has determined will happen in history. In eternity, God determined every detail of history that would ever occur. That's an astounding thing to think about. He determined who would be saved and who would be damned. He determined the creation of all things, the upholding of all things down to the tiniest detail, and the goal of all things. There's not one detail that stands outside of God's will. He even determined the death of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, Jesus says, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." That cup that Jesus speaks of there, it was the wrath of God that Jesus would suffer at the cross. And apparently, God showed Jesus that it was his will of decree, that Jesus go to the cross. Go to suffer God's wrath there. Jesus says in verse 46, he says, "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." That shows he was going to go to the cross to suffer according to the will of God. God had made that plain to him. Think of God's will for a moment in terms of who you are. The will of God's decree in terms of who you are. God, in his will of decree, has determined every detail of your life from beginning to end. He decided when you would be born, the exact moment you would be born, and he has determined the exact moment you will die. He determined exactly what family you would be born into, how tall you would be, what color skin that you would have. He determined every detail down to even how many hairs or how few of hairs you have on your head. Matthew 10 verse 30 says that the very hairs of your head are numbered. And in his will of decree, God has determined your station and calling in this life. Lord's Day 49 speaks of our station and calling. Those are two words used there. And station refers to the position that God has given to you in this life. And your calling is the work that you must do within that position you have. For instance, maybe you are a husband, a father, and an employee. Those are your stations in this life. And you have calling. You have a calling within those stations. As a husband, you are to love your wife. As a father, you are to teach your children. As an employee, you are to work to the best of your ability. Maybe, for instance, you're a wife or a mother, and maybe a wife and a mother, and your calling within those stations is to submit to your husband and to teach your children in the fear of the Lord. Or maybe you're a child, that's your station, and you have a calling as a child to honor your parents to the glory of God and to grow in a knowledge of God every day. That's your calling. Whatever your situation and calling is, God has determined it. And God has also determined exactly your circumstances in this life. Maybe you are experiencing right now sickness or loneliness or general sadness. That's God's will for you right now. Or maybe you are generally pretty healthy and you face few struggles and few pains right now. Well, that's God's will for you right now. He has determined that would be what you are going through right now. That's an astounding thing to think upon. He controls everything, every detail of our life. Now, God's will of decree has many important characteristics, but we will especially focus on two of them today. First, God's will of decree is always accomplished. Always accomplished. It's not as if God has determined that something will happen, but it might not happen. And it's not as if man can somehow frustrate the will of God or resist it. The will of God's decree, that is. Just listen to God's word a moment here. This is Daniel 4, verse 35. And this is what a mighty emperor, Nebuchadnezzar, said about God. Again, Daniel 4, verse 35. He says, "He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?" God's will of decree is always accomplished. He determined that you would be sitting here right now in Crete Protestant Reformed Church in this building listening to this sermon at this exact time. He determined that before the world began, and thus you are here right now. That's the first aspect, or that's the first characteristic of God's will of decree. It's always accomplished. Second, God's will of decree is always good. Question and answer 124 speaks about God's will, and then says it's only good. It's about halfway through. And Romans 8 verse 28 says that God makes all things work together for good to them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Everything that God has determined is for his glory and for our salvation. So it's good. Your station and calling, and whether you are married or single right now, that ultimately serves to the glory of God's name and your good, your salvation. The circumstances of your life right now, whether it be wealth or poverty, whether it be health or sickness, that serves to the glory of God and your good as his child. Maybe you have a sickness right now, maybe a serious sickness, maybe cancer. Even that is according to God's good will. He uses that for your good and for your family's good even, so that even in those hard times, he teaches you to trust in him, to look to him to supply all of your needs. And even if you would die, that's still good, because when you die, we go to heaven, place of perfection, where we live with our God forever. So God's will is good. In God's will of decree, it includes the sin and the evil that men do, but his will is still good. He's not responsible for the evil things that men do. But he is the one who sovereignly rules all these things. He's sovereign over sin, and he did plan that it would happen. He willed that sin would occur in order to bring about the highest possible purpose, and that is the glory of his name and the salvation of his church. Think, for instance, of how God, we read in Acts 2, that God even controlled those wicked men who took Jesus to the cross. God willed that would happen for the glory of his name and the salvation of his church. God's will is good. That's the first aspect of God's will of decree. But Scripture speaks of another aspect of God's will. That's the will of God's command. God's will of command. That's what God has determined we ought to do. Scripture sometimes speaks of God's will as his will of command, especially the Psalms do that. Psalm 143, verse 10 says, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." And we sang a versification of that in Psalter number 391 this morning. We sang, "Teach me to do thy will." And when we sang that, we were referring to God's will of command. That is what God has determined we ought to do. And in describing this petition in Lord's Day 49, the Catechism especially is referring to God's will of command here. We read, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will." God's will of command was for Jesus to go to the cross. That was his will of decree, too. That's certainly true. But it was also his will of command for Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, we read that Jesus was obedient unto death. He was to reject the temptation to try to escape Judas and thereby escape the cross. And he was to go willingly unto death in obedience to the will of God's command. God's will of command for us is found in his word. God's will of command is his law that we read earlier this morning. It shows us what God has determined we ought to do. And God's will of command, understand, is only revealed in his word. And that's important to take note of. Because there are some today, maybe you've heard this, there are some who will say something along these lines. They will say, "Well, I believe that it's God's will that I abandon or I leave my husband or wife because of some of the difficulties we are going through right now. I prayed a lot about it, and I believe that this is good because God wants me to be happy." That's wrong. God does not reveal his will by prayer without the word. God's will of command is found in the word. If the Bible forbids something, feelings can be thrown out because they're wrong. God's will of command is found here. And God's will of command has two important characteristics. God's will of command has two important characteristics. First, God's will of command is always good. We saw that with his will of decree. His will of decree is always good. Well, his will of command is always good as well. Question and answer 124 is especially speaking of God's will of command when it says, "We without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good." God's will of command is a good guide for our life. Understand this too, in keeping God's commandments in that way, there is joy. And in the way of disobedience, there's misery. We know that to be true according to our experience. God's way is the good way. Second characteristic of God's will of command is that it is rarely done on this earth. God's will of decree is always done, but God's will of command is rarely done on this earth. The wicked reprobate never obey the will of God's command. Believers, by the power of the Holy Spirit, do obey the will of God's command, but they only have a small beginning of new obedience. We often disobey God's will of command. And even when we obey, even those works are stained with sin. God's will of command is rarely done on this earth, but it's perfectly done in heaven. Perfectly done in heaven by the angels. Lord's Day 49 speaks of that, speaks of how the angels willingly and faithfully perform their duties, obeying God's commands. Psalm 103, verses 20 and 21 reference this as well. It says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. That's God's will of command. Two aspects, will of decree. Or there are two aspects to God's will, his will of decree, his will of command. Now the petition. We are taught to pray by Jesus, thy will be done. When we pray, thy will be done, when we pray that petition, we are asking that God's will of command may be done by us. We are asking that we may submit to the will of God's decree, and we'll see that in a moment. But first, focus on this aspect of the petition. When we pray, thy will be done, we are praying that God's will of command may be done by us. That's what question and answer 124 is especially emphasizing. It says, which is the third petition? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. So, the Catechism teaches, when we pray thy will be done, we are praying that we might renounce our own will and obey God's will of command. First, we are praying that we might renounce our own will. That is, reject our own will. Our will is what we desire and what we are determined to do. And we naturally desire and we are determined to disobey God's will of command. Our will is in bondage to sin because of the fall. What we naturally desire and are determined to do is sin and sin only. Do understand, by God's grace, our wills have been liberated so that we can desire to serve God. We have been regenerated. He does empower us to seek Him. However, we still have a sinful nature within us. And apart from the Holy Spirit's work, we only desire sin. God's will of command is that we seek His glory in all that we do. But naturally, we only seek our own glory. Especially when following God's will of command means suffering, we seek ourselves naturally. Think about this. If standing up to your friends or standing up to a certain peer group means that you're going to get weird looks, it's a great temptation not to stand up to them. It's a great temptation to disobey God's will of command in that instance. That's what we will do if left to self. And if obeying your parents, kids, if that means that you will miss out on something that your other friends are doing, we'll never obey our parents. We'll find a way around it. When we pray, thy will be done, we are praying, may I be strengthened to renounce my own will, to reject it, and may I be strengthened to obey thy will, the will of thy command. May thy will be done by me, is what we are praying. And we are asking that we may do God's will of command without murmuring and complaining. Question and answer 124 says, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good. It's very easy to murmur about obeying God's commandments. It's very easy to say, why do I always have to stand up to these friends and address this trouble with them instead of just going along with it? And maybe others don't say anything. Why do I always have to be the one who says something? Or it's very easy for kids to complain about following the will of God's command. They might say, why do I have to listen to my parents? When we pray, thy will be done, we are asking that we might obey God's will of command without complaining. We say, may I stand up for the truth, and may I be ready to endure what comes without complaining, without feeling sorry for myself. And kids and young people, when they pray this petition, they say, may I listen to my parents without complaining. I can't do it in my own strength. Oh God, I know that. Strengthen me by thy power, thy almighty power, to obey them, to honor them. And we are praying with this petition, we are praying that we might obey the will of God's command as willingly and as faithfully as the angels do in heaven. That's the end, that quote's from the end of question and answer 124. The angels obey willingly. They do not murmur and complain when God gives to them a calling. When God says go, they willingly go. And when God says worship, they happily and joyfully worship to the glory of God. The angels obey willingly and faithfully. That means they continue to obey. They do it again and again. They don't tire of serving God. They serve Him time after time after time. As Psalm 103 verses 20 and 21 says, they do His commandments, hearkening unto His word, continuing in it. When we pray, thy will be done, we are praying that we might obey the will of God's command as willingly and faithfully as those angels do in heaven, not tiring of it, continuing on in it, happily, joyfully, willingly, to our God's glory. When we pray, thy will be done, we are praying that we may obey the will of God's command. And also this, we are praying that we may submit to the will of God's decree. God's will of decree is always accomplished. So when we pray that God's will be done, we are not praying that His will be accomplished. His will of decree will be accomplished. What we are praying is that we might submit to the will of God's decree. We're asking that we might not murmur and complain about what God sends our way, but instead submit. Complaining about what God has determined will happen in our lives is certainly a great, great temptation. It's a great temptation to complain, for instance, and murmur about the station and calling that God has given to us in this life. Maybe it's the case that right now your job is especially difficult and hard, but it's still a job that you see that you have to have right now to provide for your family. It's a great temptation to murmur and complain about the difficulties of that job that God has given to you and that station that God has placed you in. It's very hard. Maybe you're single right now and your will is to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or a wife. Or maybe you are married but you don't have children. It's your will that you have children. It's a great temptation to complain about the station, calling that you have in life. Maybe you kids have difficult chores to do at home. Maybe it's difficult for you not to complain about the station you have under your parents in your home and the calling you have to do those activities that they call you to do. It's a temptation to murmur and complain about the circumstances of life that God has given to us. Maybe, again, now maybe it's the case that your father or mother is sick or you are sick and it's your will that you be better or your loved one be better. Temptation. The temptation is there to murmur and complain. But that's sin. That's rebellion. Now, what's been said does not mean that we cannot seek to change our position in this life in lawful ways. But it does mean that we may not complain and murmur about what God has sent our way. When we pray, thy will be done, we are praying that we might not do that. We might not murmur. Father, we are saying, bend my rebellious spirit. I'm rebellious by nature. Bend my rebellious spirit. Give me strength not to murmur, but give me strength to submit. And to submit means willingly to place yourself under another person's rule. So submitting to God means that we willingly place ourselves under Him. And that's what we're asking in this petition. We are saying, oh God, may I willingly place myself under Thy rule, so that in difficult times I say, oh God, Thy way is best. Oh God, Thou dost know best. Thou art my Father. I trust in thee. The one who is weary after another day's work at his difficult job. He prays, may thy will be done. That is, may I submit to thy will for me right now. May I say, thy way is good. And the one whose loved one is sick, he prays, oh God, may thy will be done. That is, may I submit to the will of thy decree for me and for my family right now, trusting that thy way is best. May I submit and even confess that in front of others, that my Father's way is good. That's the petition. May we pray that every day, in some way. Maybe we say that every day, thy will be done. But in some way, pray that, thy will be done. As we think upon this petition, we must see that our Father is very gracious to us. Very gracious to us. We only pray this petition by the power of Jesus Christ. That shows his great grace to us. We pray this petition only by the power of Christ. We will never pray, thy will be done from the heart in our own strength. We won't. We will never pray, may we obey the will of thy command in our own strength. We want to do our own will. We do not want the will of God's decree to come to pass, but we want our own will to come to pass. So naturally we will say, not thy will be done, but my will be done. By the power of Christ, though, we can and we do pray, thy will be done from the heart. Jesus prayed this petition in the Garden of Gethsemane in perfect submission to God's will. In Matthew 26, verse 39, he said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Jesus knew a couple things were true. Jesus knew that it was God's will that he suffer for the sins of his people. And Jesus knew that the suffering at the cross would be especially terrible. That particular suffering at the cross would be awful. He knew it. So he prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And again, that cup was suffering under God's terrible wrath at the cross. If it be possible, Jesus was saying, let me not suffer thy wrath on the cross in order to save thy people, but thy will be done. He was praying there in submission to God's will. He was saying, I will do what thou dost will. I will go the way of the cross if that's the way that brings to thee glory. I will do it. Jesus was praying in submission to God's will, and he was also praying for strength to continue in obedience to God's will of command. In verse 42, he prays again, thy will be done. He's saying, strengthen me to submit to thy will and continue on in obedience to the will of thy command all the way to the cross. Strengthen me. Even I see this horrible suffering in front of me. Strengthen me to go that way that thou hast determined for me. And God answered Jesus' prayer. For Jesus did submit to and obey God's will. God apparently showed Jesus here in the garden that it was his will that he go to the cross. And notice in verse 46, Jesus says, rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. So he doesn't run. He doesn't try to escape Judas. He goes out to Judas, goes willingly. He's submitting to God's will, going to the cross to pay for our sins. And the sovereign Savior, he now works in us to pray what he prayed from the heart, thy will be done. Jesus has the right to work in our hearts now as the one who paid for all of our sins. If we were guilty sinners before God still, then he would have no right to work in us to pray this petition from the heart to God's glory. But he went to Calvary, and he paid for all of the sins of his people there. And so he does have the right to work in us as those whose guilt is gone. He works in us to pray this petition from the heart. Think of that. The same one who prayed, "Thy will be done," with all that suffering before him at Calvary. That same one, kids, he lives in you. He lives in us, and he strengthens us to make that same prayer. That's wonderful. He empowers us. What a gracious God we have. Through Christ, he works in us to pray this petition. And there's more. Also, our Father is very gracious because when we pray this petition, he answers it. God is pleased to answer our petition, this petition, now. When we feel ourselves desiring to do our own will, we pray by the power of Jesus Christ, "O God, may the will of thy command be obeyed by me." And Jesus empowers us to go forward seeking to obey him and to do what is right. We've experienced that. We've struggled with certain sins in this life. We know that. And Jesus Christ worked in us in those difficult times to say, "O God, may thy will be done by me." And God worked in the way of prayer, strengthening us to renounce our own will and seek him. He has strengthened us to seek to obey our parents, to speak up even to friends when they're going in the wrong way, even when it means weird looks. He strengthens us for the glory of God, glory of his own name, to do the will of his command. And when we feel ourselves beginning to murmur and complain, we also pray. We say, May thy will of decree be submitted to by me. May I not murmur and complain in this difficult time, but may I submit to thy will. Maybe that's the case when we've had that in our lives when someone was sick. And we felt that murmuring and complaining coming. And Jesus Christ, he worked in us to seek him in prayer. And to pray, "Thy will be submitted to by me." And God worked in that way of prayer, strengthening us to submit more and more to his glory. That's what our God does. He's our Father. God is pleased to answer this petition now, strengthening us, and he's pleased to answer this petition also in the future. Christ will bring us to the new heavens and new earth one day. And in the new heavens and new earth, we will not ever struggle with disobedience. We will perfectly obey the will of God's command in everything that we do. Every day, we will perfectly perform our calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. And we will perfectly submit to him in everything as well. We will have stations and callings in heaven, but we will never murmur and complain about them. Instead, we will always say, "God, he is good. He's perfect." We will perfectly submit to his will forever and ever there in the new heavens and new earth. So God answers this prayer now, and he will answer it in the future. And why can we be so certain about that? How can we know that for sure? Well, this certainty that we have that God will answer this petition is based entirely upon Jesus' work at the cross. Jesus did go to that cross. He perfectly submitted to God's will of decree and obeyed his will of command. He paid for the sins of his people there, of believers. And we are perfectly righteous before God. And on that basis, he certainly does answer our prayers. We pray, "May thy will be done by me." We pray, "May thy will be submitted to by me." And God strengthens us. He provides, working in us to submit even in difficult times. So really think about God's grace this morning. He works in us to pray this petition from the heart. And he answers the petition that he worked in us to pray. I'll say that again. He worked in us to pray it. He answers the petition, strengthening us to obey his will and submit to the will of his decree. What a gracious God. It's wonderful. It's amazing. May we pray then this petition seeking his glory and thankfulness for who he is to us. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we pray that thy will may be done, thy will of command be obeyed by us, thy will of decree be submitted to by us. We pray that thou wilt, Lord, help us to pray this petition from the heart every day. And we ask that thou wilt continue to answer us for Jesus' sake. We are unworthy. We pray that thou wilt answer us for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.